Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, my name is Kerry, not Kevin, but I know Kevin. And I'm grateful to Pastor Kevin for the opportunity today while he's on some sunny beach exhaling, drinking lemonade. I think they're having a little anniversary getaway, so if you haven't sent your card, you can now. Look to your neighbor and say, good morning. It was 26 years ago today, July 5th, the year 2000. Our young family was vacationing on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. That's our home. We were actually in the home village of my Granny Margie. We were on Ocracoke Island. And we were having a great patriotic weekend. And my cell phone rang. And I answered, it was my mom. They live down the coast from Ocracoke a little to the south. And it was mom, and she said, Kerry, I just want to let you know that in the early morning hours, your dad's shrimp trawler burned at the dock. And that shrimp trawler, I mean, I come from a family of shrimpermen, just regular old Bubba Gumps. That's my dad's livelihood. And he had no insurance because commercial fishermen usually can't afford the insurance. They just keep vigilance over their equipment. But she said, your dad's boat burned at the dock. And she said, no need to come. There's nothing you can do. But just thought you should know. I was in my vehicle at that time on Ocracoke Island. You can only get from Ocracoke to Carteret County, where my family lives, by ferry boat. And you have to have reservations and to get your car on. But I just drove straight to the ferry boat. I didn't have my family with me. And when I got there, they had a slot for me. Someone had not made their reservation, I guess. And I pulled right onto the ferry boat. And I called Kim and I said, here's what's up. And I've got to go. I've got to go to Harker's Island. I want to go. And so I made the trip across the Pamlico Sound on the ferry boat. That's about 2 hours, 15, 20 minutes. And then we landed at Cedar Island, and I have about 40 minutes now to get to Harker's Island, my home. And I pulled into the driveway at the home place there. Dad's truck was there. And I came in to the kitchens. Mom was surprised to see me. And I could hear Dad wailing at the other end of the house with sounds I had never heard come from my dad. Just this desperation. And he was just crying out, just crying out. And so when my feet hit the vinyl mat on the hallway floor, I took two or three steps toward where Dad was, and you know, a father knows the gait of his son's step. And he sucked all that up, all that wailing, all that crying out. And I got to the bathroom where Dad was, and Dad had been down in the that ashy boat all morning, trying to see if he could salvage anything. It was totally burned in the middle of the cabin, the deck, everything. The only thing was left was the hull. And so he had come home to do what Dad said real men do when it gets really troublesome. They take a tub bath. And my dad was in the tub. And I just sort of leaned into the room, and he leaned his head out and had suds all in his head. And I said, "Dad." And he said, "You probably heard me." I said, "I heard you, Dad." He said, "Well, I was crying out to God." I said, I understand." It was a heart-wrenching day. I'll come back to that a little later. I'll tell you a little bit more about that story. Today, we're talking about faith under fire, a desperate faith. The original message today is FaceTime, The Truth Will Set You Free. But Pastor Kevin stopped me a couple weeks ago, and he said, "Pastor Kerry, there's a message you preached years ago. I wondered if the Lord would let you rework that and bring it again." And I said, "Well, it's whatever you think, Pastor. I'm under your authority here." I said, "Let me pray about it." And as I was praying, and I realized that to the day, it would be 26 years since that story. It seemed like God was leading us here. But it is a FaceTime message, rest assured. Because my dad, when he was in that tub that day, he was crying out to God. He was trying to get some FaceTime with his Lord. I don't know if you've ever been where Dad was, but on this particular day, it's like heaven had hit the mute switch. And Dad was crying out in agony, but the only thing coming back to him was silence. And FaceTime with the Lord can be that way sometimes. And so when it comes to truth, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He went on to say in John 8, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Well, the rendering of that really is, you shall know Jesus. He is the truth. You shall know Jesus, and Jesus shall set you free. That's the simplistic, profound meaning of "you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Back to desperate faith. I want to tell you three things that I've learned about desperate faith. I've got my walking stick here. And in the faith chapter, there's a story. There's actually a verse. It's verse 21. It says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff." That's interesting. That's an interesting illustration, isn't it? That he's older than he's ever been, Jacob. He's kind of nearing the end, closer to the end than he is at the beginning. And he's leaning on his staff and he's worshiping. Well, you may or may not know that the staff or the walking stick to the ancient Jew, it represented their life's journey. This represents the life journey. And to lean on top of the staff, the top of the staff represents the end of the journey. And by journey, I mean journal, okay? When you saw an old man with a walking stick, a staff in those days, their life began here and ended here. And all along the way, there would be etchings and carvings in the walking stick. It was their journal. Journal of what? Journal of God's faithfulness. And they could go back and say, "On this day, yeah, God came through. On this day..." Well, Jacob's at the end of his journey now, and he's leaning on the faithfulness of God. So this represents life. This is my walking stick. this represents my life. I'm closer to the end than I am to the beginning. And so I've learned a few things about faith, about desperate faith. Number one, faith should be committed, okay? Faith should be committed. It means we must be loyal to God regardless, even when heaven seems to have the mute switch on, even when we're crying out and silence is all we're getting back. Faith should be committed. Loyalty to God regardless. A second idea is faith must be tested. Sometimes we wonder, why is heaven silent? Well, you know that if you were in grade school, at least back in the old school, we used to have what we called tests, pop quizzes, midterms, anything you want to call it. I'm not sure if they call it that the same these days. But what happened when the test was being given is everybody got their number two pencil out, and the teacher came by and gave each person a sheet of paper. And then she said, the test is going to begin, and I'll give you so many minutes for the test to be completed. And you know what happened during the test? The teacher was silent. I don't know if you've thought about this, but you're a person of faith. Your faith should be committed. You should be loyal to God regardless, but your faith must be tested. And that means there might be some silence in the room while you're taking the test. But it doesn't mean the teacher is absent. And in our case in faith, when silence comes, it doesn't mean that God is absent. He's just silent. Faith must go through the fire, must be tested, must be proven genuine. The third thing about faith is faith will be rewarded. Should be committed, must be tested, will be rewarded. God will not forget those who keep the faith. I promise He will not forget. His timetable is different than ours, but He will not forget. Because committed faith, tested faith, becomes rewarded faith. One day in my quiet time with the Lord, I asked the Lord if He might reveal to me in Scripture the moment in His life when He crossed the Rubicon to redeem my soul. I was asking, in essence, Jesus, at what point did you pull the trigger of the gospel gun to save and to sanctify me? Could you show me that in your life? Could you show me that in Scripture? And He tenderly led me to Luke chapter 22. I'll let you make reference of that. I'm going to give you the exact verse that He gave me. But the story that He led me to is Luke 22, 39 through 46. And I found the answer in one word in verse 42. Jesus is in the garden, okay? It's just before His crucifixion. And He's crying out to the Father. He's in agony. He's in desperation. And as Jesus cries out, it seems the mute switch is on from the other end. All Jesus gets is silence. And when we get to verse 42 of Luke 22, Jesus speaking, these are the red words, the words written in red. This is the FaceTime piece. He prays, He cries out, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from me yet. Oh. And I could tell confirmation in my soul. Jesus was saying, Carrie, here's where I crossed the Rubicon. Right here is where I pulled the trigger of the gospel gun to save and to sanctify You. This is a place in my life. Father, if You are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but Yours be done. Yet, Jesus put His life totally in the Father's hands, and when He said yet, He surrendered all to go to the cross for me and for you. He said yes to His crucifixion after he said yet, he abandoned to God. Hold on to that word, abandoned to God. Are you abandoned to God today? The favorite biography I've ever read of anyone's life is the biography of Oswald Chambers. It is titled Abandoned to God. And wouldn't it just make sense that the devotional book that he is famous for and we are grateful for is titled My Utmost for His Highest. It means my everything for my King. And the title of his biography is Abandoned to God. Well, right here in Gethsemane, the Son of God abandoned to the Father of God. What might that look like? Well, I thought you might ask. Back years ago, I got enamored with the idea of pottery. I have been reading the scriptures, been reading in the Old Testament about the potter's house, so forth and so on. And on a Wednesday night, I talked about the potter and being clay in the potter's hands. And my friend Drew Ritter came up to me afterwards and said, well, would you like to go to the house of a potter? I said, would I? I'd love to. He said, well, I got a friend up in Newmarket and she's a master potter and I think she'd let us come. Would you like to make something? I said, wow, this is getting better. And so we went. So this is my first piece, only piece, of pottery. I personally took the mud and turned it to marvelous. I got a few Billy Crystal people here that know what I'm talking about. It's a less than perfect bowl. But I'll tell you, making that thing was a spiritual experience for me. I didn't realize that when you take that mud and you work it and you put the water in your hands and you work it and you work it and you work it, you become one with the mud. I mean, you know, we're just made from dirt. And I just became one with this mud. I became one. And that's what God's after, is to become one with us. And I got it to where I thought, well, it looks like something. And the master potter said, are you satisfied? I said, yes, just what I want. She said, okay, leave it alone. Come back in a few weeks. I'll put it through the fire and you can take it home. So I came a few weeks later and she went to the kiln and she came back with my bowl. And she said, it's all yours. It's what you wanted it to be. Here it is. She said, I'll just make a little suggestion. She said, some people, they actually turn the pottery over and they give it a name. I said, wow, that's cool. So I took the Sharpie and I wrote number one, signed my name, 2008, and I titled it Nevertheless. You know, that's a synonym for yet. Do you know that mud? It just surrendered. It just surrendered to my hands, and it became what I had in mind. It had no will of its own. It didn't speak from the spinning table and tell me what it would like to be. It just sort of surrendered to me and what I would have it to be. And to this day, this piece of pottery serves me. It does whatever I ask it to do. And so at the moment, I have it sitting in my home office on a bookshelf, and it's full of dried rose petals from sacred seasons in my life. And its use is whatever I want it to be used for. Let me ask a question today. Are you willing to go from mud to marvelous? You have to surrender. You have surrender. You have to say, yet, not my will, not what I want, but what you want, Lord. I have a question for you today. This is a very important question. It's not because I'm asking it. It's because it's in Scripture. Having heard what I've said so far and what Jesus prayed, the question is, have you reached yet? in your walk with the Lord. That's what was going on with my dad that day in the tub. And it's not just a one-time thing. It is a one-time thing, but it's for all-time thing too. My dad already belonged to the Lord. His faith was committed. His faith was being tested. But in that moment, Dad had reached yet. He had been crying out to God, asking God to help him. Heaven was silent, and Dad reached yet. Dad reached yet. Have you reached yet? Have you said yes? Have you reached yet, and have you said yes? I'm glad that today I can give testimony that I've said yes. I've reached yet, I've said yes. My heart cries out, I am crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, yet Christ now lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith, sometimes desperate faith. I live by faith in the one who died for me. I no longer live. It means what I want doesn't matter anymore. Have you reached yet? Have you reached yet, and have you said yes? Can you sing this song? I want what you want more than I want anything. I want what you want for me. There are other synonyms of yet. Nevertheless, listen to a few of them. In spite of, however, still, even though, anyway, regardless of, be that as it may, but. All of those are synonyms for yet. Have you reached yet? Have you done what Jesus did in Gethsemane? Have you totally placed your life, your all, in Father God's hands and said, have your way with your clay today? Have you said, I'm yours? It's a serious question. And I'll tell you what waits at the other end of it, being this is the weekend that we're looking at it. Real freedom comes when we answer this question. Real freedom. When God's plan goes into action, will we stay surrendered as the clay stays surrendered in the hands of the master potter? Will we say, nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want, my God? You know, there's a story in Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 23. John the Baptist, I mean the cousin of Jesus, the forerunner of Jesus, the first one to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This story, John the Baptist is in prison and he's soon to be beheaded by Herod. I'll tell you, John the Baptist reached yet. I mean, he's crying out to heaven. He's already identified Jesus as the one who was to come, the Messiah. But John the Baptist is at a desperate place. His faith is at a desperate spot. Surely his faith is committed. Surely his faith is being tested. So John the Baptist sent a messenger to Jesus. And the message that he sent to Jesus, I'm talking about John the Baptist, okay? Are you the one? I mean, John the Baptist is the one who identified Jesus as the one. Now his faith is in a desperate place. And he sends word to Jesus asking, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And from the perspective of John the Baptist, it didn't seem Jesus was doing things right. Jesus sent word back to John the Baptizer. He sent these words back to John in prison. They're recorded in Luke 7:23. We hear the words of Jesus going back to his cousin whom he loved, John the Baptist, who loved Jesus. But he just, his faith was in a desperate spot. It wasn't making any sense. So how could Jesus be the one? I mean, why is he not springing me from this prison? And the words that came back to the ears of John the Baptist were these: "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." It's called the Beatitude of the Unoffended. He said back to John, "John, if you want to be blessed, just embrace my plan for your life. It may not be what you are thinking. You've reached yet, and I hope you'll say yes." Well, I believe John the Baptist said yes. And he wasn't sprung from prison. He was beheaded. And that's what desperate faith called for in his life. So what's the point? The point is, when our faith is under fire, when it seems Jesus is not answering prayer the way we would like him to answer the prayer, he's asking us not to be offended in the way he shapes the clay of our lives. To trust him, even when things are going from our vantage point incredibly wrong. As a matter of fact, that's the most important time to trust God. It's the most difficult time. It's the most desperate time. But it's the most important time. We must be unoffended and stay totally surrendered to him and his ways. We must surrender our wants for his desires, trust in him totally to do what he alone knows is best. Do we believe today that God really has our best in mind? Will we choose to be fully surrendered to his agenda? Well, what happens when we reach it? Well, we will either, number one, turn around, turn away from letting God have his way. That's the first option. We come to yet. Let this cup pass from me, yet. So at that point, we either turn away, or number two, we pray past the yet. We pray past it. I'm sure there are people here today, you're at this place in your life, and you've hit yet head on. And you're thinking, I'm turning away. Don't turn away. Pray past the yet. And echo the prayer Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, yet, not what I want, but what you want, God. When we reach it, we either, one, resist God and his holy desires, or we, two, we relinquish our all. We surrender our all and make him our master. We let him become the supreme controller of our lives. We become the clay. He becomes the master potter. We relinquish our all to him. When we reach it, we either rebuke God and turn our own way, or we release all and we cross the Rubicon and we choose to trust him for all of our days, desiring only his ways, because we believe God's ways are best. Pastor, are you saying that we as mere human beings have to echo the prayer of the Son of God? Is that even possible? It's possible. Do you recall the Old Testament story? Three mere human beings. They're called the three Hebrew children: Shad, Mad, and Bad. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, this is long before Jesus ever went into Gethsemane. Okay? These are mere human beings. And you talk about desperate faith. The king has put up a golden idol, and he's called everybody there where the golden idol stands, and the music's going to sound, and everyone is to drop on their faces and worship this idol. And so the music played, and the people dropped, except three didn't. There were three sore thumbs standing up. So they said, well, they must be hard of hearing. They must have misunderstood the king's edict. And so they sounded the music again. Everybody hit the deck again. But not Shad, Mad, and Bad. They had reached yet. In their case, the synonym was but. Their story unfolds. I mean, they got a fiery furnace waiting on them. If you don't bow down to this idol, then you're going in a fiery furnace. You're going to be burned to death. I call that yet. Wouldn't you? So in Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18, they begin to speak to the king. But he's just a king. He's not the king of kings. He's just a king. And here's what they say to the king. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able. Talk about faith. The God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. Talk about a declaration. But then they added verse 18. But, yet, nevertheless, in spite of, however, but, even if he does not rescue us, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And the three Hebrew children reached yet, and they crossed the Rubicon of faith. And even if their God did not rescue them, they would still trust his way and remain unoffended in how God chose to do things. But guess what happened? That committed faith, that tested faith, was rewarded faith. What was the reward? They didn't burn up. Well, yeah, that's good too. But that was not the reward. When they were thrown into the furnace, Jesus showed up. In the Old Testament, I don't care what any other theologians say, it's Jesus. King Nebuchadnezzar looked down there and said, I thought we throw three men in this furnace. There's a fourth one who is likened to the Son of Man. Do you want to live where Jesus lives? I'd rather be in the furnace with Jesus, wouldn't you? As a matter of fact, could this even be possible? You know, we have trouble with Scripture. It says in the New Testament that Jesus himself learned obedience. What? Well, it says it in Scripture that Jesus learned obedience. I wonder if Jesus wasn't there just for them, but he was there for himself because he was going to be coming to a yet. Could it be in Gethsemane? When Jesus was praying, oh God, let this cup pass from me yet. And all of a sudden he remembers the three Hebrew children and the desperate faith choice they made. And so Jesus prayed through the yet so he could save and sanctify me and you if you choose. When we reach it, we say yes. Okay? That's what we do. If we are genuine believers, we don't reach it and turn back. We reach it and we pray through. Have you reached it yet? Have you said yes to God's plans? Or are you offended in the way God is carrying out things. Don't be offended. Back to my dad in the bathtub. He'd been wailing, crying out to heaven. Heaven's on mute. Nothing but silence. His oldest son shows up. I was checking on Dad, but I was also checking on his faith. His whole life had gone up in smoke. Boat burned at the dock. I didn't even have to question Dad about his faith, because before I could say anything, he leaned his head out of the tub and he said, "Okay, Kerry, listen up. You don't know everything that was going on when you came in the house." I said, "You can say that again." He said, "I was crying out to the Lord, and here's what I said that you didn't hear. I said, 'God, I don't understand what you're doing. But if I never sense your presence again in my life, I'm going to tell somebody every day how wonderful you are.'" He prayed through the yet. He prayed through the yet. It's okay. It's okay. My daddy's with Jesus today. You know that his faith was committed, his faith was tested, and eventually his faith was rewarded. Do you know how Dad built his boat back? He wasn't old enough to retire. He still had to work. Guess what God had planned? Dad went to about 15 churches by invitation. He didn't really want to do it. They heard about his story and asked him to come give testimony at their churches. He came to this church. We invited him. All the churches took love offerings and built my dad's boat again. And God got all the glory because Dad, he prayed through the yet. And he said yes. And I remember my dad was dying with cancer. And I was reaching yet, man, because my dad's dying and I love my daddy. And I thought it was too soon. I didn't like the way God was doing things. I was one day with Dad at the convalescent home, Sailor Snug Harbor, that's the name of it. And my dad had asked me the night before, he said, "Kerry, do you think you could give me a shower tomorrow?" And he was in pretty bad shape, couldn't hardly walk. I said, "Dad, I can give you a shower." He said, "Well, when you come back tomorrow, you're staying at my house tonight, right?" I said, "Yes, Dad, free room and board. I'm at your house." He said, "Well, before you come, reach in the tub, get that bottle of coconut suave shampoo and bring it, will you?" Oh, man, I washed my hair with coconut suave this morning. That smell, man, takes me right back to my dad's faith. And that day, I came back to that convalescent home, and I got my dad in a wheelchair and rolled him down that big commercial shower. And I got him kind of stood up and propped up in there, and he said, "Give me my shampoo, give me my soap." He said, "Now you go sit over there somewhere. I'll be okay. I've got myself." And he started washing, and suds coming down his head again. Are you with me with the suds here? And the suds are in his hair again. I'm watching my dad take a shower. Kind of reminds me of him taking that bath that day's boat burn. And I'm over in the corner, and I didn't realize it, but I must not have had a good look on my face. I must have been having a hard time with the Lord. And my dad reaches his head out of the shower, pulls the soap out of his face, and he looks at me and he says, "Kerry, don't get bitter." And then he says what Jesus said to John the Baptist. He said, "Blessed are those who are not offended in the way Jesus chooses to do things." All I can say to that is, good God Almighty. Wow. Wow. It works. Faith works. We're going to close today with communion. Holy Communion. Just before Jesus went into Gethsemane and prayed this prayer, he instituted Holy Communion in the upper room in Jerusalem. I'm going there for the 18th time in October. If you want to go, we still got seats. Boy, it's something to walk into that upper room and realize this is the place, man, where Jesus instituted Holy Communion, and then he walked out of there down that Kidron Valley and up into Gethsemane, and he prayed, "Nevertheless, yet not my will, but thine be done." So we're going to have communion today. It's going to be our response to this message. Let me tell you who's invited. Let me tell you who's invited to the table. Four categories of people today. Maybe one is saying, or some are saying, "Well, I just need to come and pray Pastor Yip, Pastor." Well, that's a good reason to come. But let me make it clear, in case you're visiting today, you don't have to be a member. We don't fence the communion table in our tradition. We just open it. It's not our table to fence. It's his. It's the table of the Lord Jesus. Here's who's invited. If you want to remember what he's done for you, do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. So you're in right relationship with the Lord today. You come in to remember. You're invited to the table. Second of all, there's been a time in your life when you were nearer to the Lord, more intimate than you are today, and that's not good with you, and it's not good with God. And so today you want to come in recommitment. And when you leave this table today, you want to be nearer to the Lord in spirit than you've ever been in your life. You're invited. Third person is one who came in this place today, and truth be known, God knows you're living in sin. You're choosing sin. You're not choosing Christ. But he still led you here today because he still wants to provide a way out for you. If you want to repent today, these elements, the cup and the bread, they can serve as your altar. And you can turn from sin and turn to him at the table today. And there's a fourth group. You're the prodigal. You once lived in the Father's house. You had a place at the table, but you left. What a day you'd like to return. You know, every day since you left, he set your place at the table and hoped you'd come home. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. So today, these tables in the four corners, you can come to remember, you can come to recommit, you can come to repent, you can come to return. Today, I'm leaning on the top of my staff. Kim said today we left the house, "What you going to do with that?" Well, Kim, this is my life. And today I want to turn my staff, my walking stick, into a flag of surrender. I want my whole life, from beginning to end, to be yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Last week we ended with this song. I figured it's good enough for this week. You've already had it in your psyche. It's titled Abandoned. I invite you today to pray past the yet, embrace the yes, and abandon to God. Come as we sing. Receive the elements on your own today. We won't do it together. It's personal today. Take the cup, take the wafer, and receive.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.